witches!
Hi, hello, and welcome to A Court of Witches. Whether you're into witches, books, or some other random shit, we've got something for you. Find us on your favorite podcast streaming service every Saturday for a new episode.
Connect with us on social media for news and upcoming episodes. For all business inquiries, please email us at acourtofwitches@gmail.com.
See you at The Court of Witches. Hi, hello, and welcome back. Today,
trigger warning. Let's just start out with that. Trigger warning.
If you are triggered by a lot of things due to past experience, just being uncomfortable with certain things, or because you're a bitch, you wouldn't be listening to us. If you were that one. But.
What the fuck just came out of your mouth? What is happening?
What the fuck? That's fucking rude. Listen, a lot of people get triggered at work about stupid things. So I feel like I have to fucking say it.
Fair. No. So we are going to be discussing Haunting Adeline and Hunting Adeline. Series, duology. Is there going to be another book? I don't know.
No, it's just a cat and mouse series, which is just two books. Here's the thing. We didn't write anything down. We literally just read it in our own time, and then we wanted to discuss it. And here's the thing why I wanted to discuss it. I thought that Brandy was going to be the complete fucking opposite of me. And I honestly thought we were going to debate this. This bitch.
Because I'm a feminist. I get it. I get why you thought that.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, this would be so fucking great if like Brandy reads this and we talk about it. It's going to be great. Because I just thought we were going to have like heated debates.
I do think that there are parts of the book, especially if we were to like sit down and go through chapter by chapter, there are parts that we would disagree about. But
I just thought you'd disagree.
I do like Zayd. I get it.
Yeah.
But I also like, I watch the show You. And I find myself rooting for Joe. Not attracted to him in any way because that goofy looking motherfucker is a goofy looking motherfucker. But I root for him. And the Zayd, I don't know. I think part of me, it's because of some of my past traumas and my childhood traumas and just being so hyper independent.
Yes.
And having to be so independent from such a young age. Having someone to take control or take care of me is attractive.
Yeah. Like, as a child, I always thought I was more, so I was obviously more attracted, okay, saying as a child and attracted in the same sentence really just sets me off.
Fair. That's a valid mindset.
Yeah. So as a child, I looked up to those hero roles. I also was a huge Disney fan. So, like, having the princesses being like in danger and having that person be able to save them and do that thing for them, I think that really, really, really kind of like set my whatever. And but also on the off chance, and here's the other thing about that too. Not that I grew up in a family where like I didn't have a protector in my father, I did, but not as much as my mom. My mom was the mama bear. My mom was the person who would go up to bat for you. Like, dad would be upset behind scenes. But then when it came to, like, saying something in front of people, like, the words wouldn't come out correctly. And then he would just get really mad at himself. And then so he just didn't do anything. He just didn't know how to control that, I guess, annoyance. But because I came from a feministic, in a way, not fully feministic, but enough. kind of family household, I was like, I want someone to protect me. I would like to date somebody who can take care of me, or somebody who is like a police officer, like a firefighter, or like military, like the stereotypical protector kind of things. And that's kind of where I went with life. I was like, yeah, I like men in uniform. I also really like men in other uniforms, I found out. Will. He looks so cute in his like little polo. But anyways, so I like that. And I think that's why I really, really like not TV shows. Well, kind of TV shows. But like books with protectors. But now I'm starting to be like, I want to be that protector. But now, like, I feel like a poser in ways because I feel like I'm wanting to be protected and be babied because I wasn't necessarily babied as a kid throughout, like, my adolescence and all of that. But I also really like to be a feminist and, like, I can take care of myself. Get the fuck off of me. Like, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think in reality, I could never be with someone like Zane. I like the idea of it, like of being.
I feel like that's what most people say.
But
the dangerous
my feminist side would definitely bristle against that. Like I wouldn't. I need to have my independence. Plus, if I want to be alone, I want to fucking be alone. You're gonna need to give me that space, and I don't think Zayd would do that. Mm-mm. But I would say, like in my relationship, it's kind of the perfect meet in the middle. Like. Sometimes I am the protector and I am the one that's going to be like, no, your food is wrong. We're going to send it back and get what you actually fucking ordered. You're not going to eat some weird ass raspberry fucking chicken wrap because they gave you the wrong food. That is a true story.
I was going to say, that's a very specific story or example.
It actually happened. Or you're not going to eat those KFC mashed potatoes with gravy on them when you specifically asked for no fucking gravy. We're going to send it back. Like, but also in the other flip side of that, I think that Brittany more protects me from myself. Honestly, like when I'm beating up on myself and I'm like, I'm not doing good enough or whatever. She'll like protect me from that. But I do have to say that there is one thing that happens in these books, or one fact or thing we find out in these books that makes me like Zayd. And if it weren't true, I would hate him. Or not hate him, but I would hate their relationship. Mm-hmm. And that is that Addie was down for being, like, she was on the list to be trafficked before she even was involved with Zayd. Because if not, then yes, his obsession with her and all of it would be the entire reason that all of this bad shit happens to her.
Yeah.
But we find out that she was already down on, I forget, the society. Is that what they call it?
The society. Yeah. Because she was like the author that like her poster was everywhere. So like she wasn't famous, but yeah. She was mildly renowned kind of thing.
Yeah. So she was already on their radar and on their list before Zayd even came into the picture. If that weren't true, I think I would have a lot harder time being on Zayd's side or being.
Yeah, because now he's just obsessed because, like, he's saving her kind of thing. And
yeah. And his logic, I'm not going to lie, his logic of being like, you had to get to know the real me from the start, because I could have come into that bookstore, I could have got your number, I could have wooed you, but that wouldn't have been me. That all
I think that's something too. To me. I think that's also something too, where I was like, aw. Someone's like, he fucking raped, like Will would be like, he fucking raped her when she said
no, aw. No, aw.
And I was like,
but also like, I get it and I like that. Now I still am all about consent because, ugh.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing too. I really like that he is very upfront about who he is. And I think, I think that's what really kind of was like, oh, at least he's showing her what he's truly like, because there's a lot of guys out there that won't do that.
Yeah.
Like,
and they would keep that in the shadows. And
and like 3 months go by and then you finally find out who they are. So it's nice to be like, yeah, he's a creep, but at least he's like authentic from the get-go.
Right.
I mean, if you had to choose somebody, do you want to like fall in love with somebody who does this, or like, you know he's a stalker and fucking
freak? Well, here's the thing. She's going to be stuck with him either way, right? So, I mean, that sounds bad, but it's the truth in this situation. Like, either way, she's going to be stuck with him. So would you rather know from the front and fall in love with who he truly is? Be it Stockholm Syndrome or not. Listen, Beauty and the Beast, Belle is my favorite fucking princess. So, and yes, I've seen the fucking TikToks. Stop sending them to me, because you're not the only one that sent them to me. Yes, I get it. People who
I know I'm sitting like
now are now like, who was your favorite princess, Belle? I get it. Okay. Be it Stockholm Syndrome or not, she gets to know him from the beginning and knows who he truly is and falls in love with him and is happy now. Or he lies to her in the beginning. She falls in love with who she thinks he is, then finds out who he really is and tries to leave and can't because he's fucking psycho. Because let's be real, he's fucking psycho. Like, there's no denying that. But he also is a fucking badass who breaks up pedophile rings and trafficking rings.
There it is. This is the debate I wanted.
If they don't adopt that little fucking girl, like,
I know. He's like, yeah, I'll be your daddy. Right? I'll be your mommy's daddy at night too.
Which is funny because we just talked about this in the Fourth Wing episode, but
Zaddy.
Yeah, I didn't realize who Zaddy was the first couple times because they're all both like morally gray characters and they're both like the bad guy. So like
Shadow Daddies.
A lot of the TikToks made sense for both of them. Like,
they both have scars on their face.
Right. Also, I just want you to keep that, what you just said, in your head about Shadow Daddies. I just need you to keep that in your head and hold it there. And you'll understand later.
For the Fourth Week?
Why I said that. So just
because he does things in the shadows.
You'll find out.
I saw some Not For Safe artwork, so yeah. It's dark wherever they do it.
Okay, also, can we talk about some of the not safe for work scenes in Haunting Adeline? Because
yeah, it really kind of like set me off the whole gun scene. Like, you stick a gold ass weapon in a vagina.
Yeah, bro. It's the weapon part for me, especially because.
And then he goes, "I just gun,
like even
yet.
Small guns."
Yeah.
They're really big and they have like pointy pieces on them. And I'm
My
sorry.
Is when he shoves it in her mouth and she's like, ew. It's like, yeah. It's
like, really?
It ain't going to taste yummy. It's metallic. It's going to taste like fucking coins.
Yeah. The whole thing is just like, who? That whole scene, I'm just like.
And part of me kind of wonders if, like, the danger aspect of it.
That is definitely her kink. Like,
yeah.
She likes to be scared.
And I get it. Like, yes, it was not sexually consented pretty much any of the time. Until she started. Well, okay.
I feel like Haunting Adeline, no. None of it was consensual. Hunting Adeline, everything with Zaid was consensual.
Yes. I think
like, which book was the mirror scene in? That's Hunting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like everything up to the end was consensual. Yes. Not consensual. Sorry, not consensual.
Yeah. But also, I think it was a little bit
Like, okay, and see, this is where I get it, and because every single time I talk about it, or I like kind of squealed at like a scene or something that he said or something that they did, I don't know, something, Will's always like,
okay, because
he raped her, and I was like, but listen,
but did he like? So
yeah, it's like at first, yeah, he like kind of forced and coerced her into doing it, but then she actually likes it. Like, she got turned on by it prior to even doing anything.
Okay, like, and like let me preface this discussion real quick, because sometimes your body does things that you don't truly want. Even when you say no, your body still does things.
Which and we learned about that in Hunting Adeline.
Yeah.
Yes. Because so she was bought in the sex trade, and a very, very rich billionaire bought her, and his kink is blood play. So like he cuts her as he's raping her. And once he's finished and gets off and do all of that, he focuses on her. So he makes sure she gets off. Yeah. And that's where she kind of gets that, like, that's kind of where, I mean, other than the situation she's in, we see like her, well, am I truly like,
she feels do betrayed I just, by her yeah, body.
Because she's like, I don't like him, but like I got off and I did this and I got that. So like, you could see that. So it's real me, like, world
what
shit.
What I'm trying to say is, we're not saying that Zayd raped her, but she liked it. No, like, mentally, in her thought processes, she thinks, like, I actually like this.
Yeah. Like, and whatever he says, what he does, like, it turns me on, the danger of it.
Yeah.
Because that's her
like,
kink.
Her kink. Like,
she literally explains in various parts of it how turned on she was knowing that her stalker is that's like the first fucking seed. Like she explains how like terrified she is, but how she loves it because her stalker is watching her through the window, but she's watching a scary movie in a haunted fucking house after her great grandmother who literally died. She had a stalker. Like, it's all morbid. It is.
It is. But I that's like her morbid kink. Like, that's her thing. It's not my thing. No, thank you. But if that's your thing, that's your thing. Like, I'm not a kink shamer. If that's what you like, then go for it.
And I'm not sitting here saying that, like, I watch scary movies because that turns me on. I love scary movies because I like the thrill of it. Now, I don't
like them.
See, and this is why you're abnegation, because you want to make sure everyone's fucking nice. And happy to go. So in the previous episode, while we were talking about Fourth Wing, we did some discussion about Divergent, and I, off camera, we did two tests. I got Dauntless with both my tests. This bitch got Abnegation for both of hers, because I like the thrill and she doesn't.
I like to help people. Like, we just talked about that. Like, I feel like I like to be that protector. I like to help people. I like to fix things.
And you're like, why the fuck am I abnegation?
I get it.
Yeah, Hufflepuff.
Fuck you and Brittany. Fuck you both. I also really value my intelligence. Like, if I had one thing about myself, like, my sin is my pride. I am so prideful, and I am very easily embarrassed because I have a lot of pride. But my, like, thing I'm the most proud of is my intelligence, which is why when someone makes me feel dumb, fight or flight goes out the window. I'm fucking fighting. I will fucking fight you. So I think that's why I'm like, I'm erudite. I'm Ravenclaw. Well, don't get me wrong. When I was 11 and I took the fucking quiz, I was a Ravenclaw, and you don't get sorted again after you're sorted the first time. So shut the fuck up, bitches. Now that I've grown and evolved as a person because I learned so much as a Ravenclaw, I've learned that humanitarian efforts are absolutely necessary, or the world is going to fucking burn like it already fucking is. But I like to help people and protect people and save people, and I do have a bit of a savior complex like Harry, except I'm not a Gryffindor because I'm not fucking stupid. So... You're welcome. You caused that rant.
Do you feel better?
Yes. I'm hungry and tired, though, which is kind of Hufflepuffy of me.
But listen, yes, that is very Hufflepuffle you.
Hufflepuffle.
See, and I really like, listen, so my first date with Will was going to a scream park. He was like, yeah, let's, well, and so he loves comedy shows. And I, at that point, had never been to comedy shows. And Will, he's probably like, you're taking this out of context. At one point, we were talking about it, and he goes, that was a red flag. You never been to a comedy show. Like, I could have said no. And I was like, oh, that's so mean. But once we started talking, and he kind of realized that, like, I really like scary things, and our first date was going to be in October, he's like, hey, do you want to go to a scream park instead? Because he was going to take me to whatever, but he... he wanted to test the waters first. So when we met up, we went to a scream park, and that was our, we drove an hour there. We took 3 shots of tequila, not tequila, vodka. And we went and had some fun and got scared. And I enjoyed every fucking minute of it. It was so fun. I was so like exhilarating.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. I love scary movies. I love Halloween. I love it all.
I love
anything
Halloween.
Scary. I love it.
I don't like to be scared. Listen,
no, I love it.
I have been to a haunted corn maze twice in my life. I've never been to an actual haunted house, but I've been to 2 haunted corn mazes because Indiana. The first time, my mom and dad forced me to go in. And I went through it with them and their friends and their son. And I was running and screaming, terrified for my fucking life. My mom, I love you, mom, if you're listening, but your dumbass wore high-heeled boots to the fucking haunted corn maze.
That's so bloody as fuck.
She trips and falls. I didn't give a fuck. I kept going. I didn't give a fuck. She could have broke her fucking leg. Didn't give a fuck. I kept going because it was around the time that the guy with the chainsaw pops out. There's always a guy with a chainsaw, right?
Yeah.
He pops out. Nope.
I'm fucking out of there.
Nope. I was gone. I was at the end when they got there. I was done. The next year, they tried to force me to go again. On the way to the haunted corn maze, I peed my fucking pants because I was so scared. So I sat at the, like, you know, they usually have like a tent or like the people at the front that you pay. I sat with the people at the front while the rest of them went through the corn maze. I just sat there with them because I was like, I'm not fucking going in there. Like, I literally am so upset that I peed my pants and you're going to try to make me go in there?
Right.
No, we're not going to be doing that.
Fuck you. No, see, I loved haunted things so much from such a young age. Like, I watched Fear. You never watched, oh, you, do you know what Fear is, though?
No.
Okay, so back in the early 2000s, like, very stereotypical MTV. So on MTV, there was a show called Fear. And with that, you take people off the street, you take celebrities, whatever the case may be, and you give them, like, sets, like, or, like, camera sets or whatever. And they have to wear these, things to do various challenges. So, you and like 5 other people get dropped off at a haunted location throughout America or whatever. Yeah. And throughout the night, you have to do these tasks and you can leave at any minute, but you forfeit the money that you get from staying all night. And sometimes it's, you have to go into this haunted penitentiary and stay on the haunted, most haunted level with a demon or whatever by yourself in this cell for like 4 hours. And you have to do that or you forfeit, kind of thing. So like you have to do these challenges. And I, every fucking time, it was on at 10 p.m. like once a week. And religiously, I went to Catholic school or whatever. I swear to God, I'm honestly surprised I had any fucking friends because of how weird I was as a child. But I watched that religiously. Did I think that there was somebody staring at me in between my bedroom door that was be like open like this much? 100%. But I didn't care because I loved it. I shut the door and I said, continue on.
Hell no. There is some sort of entity that lives in the house that I grew up in. It lives in the boiler room off of what was my bedroom at the time. It never did anything except make noise and make me hella uncomfortable.
I'd be downstairs, be like, what up, demon?
No. I was fucking terrified all the time in that fucking house. I hated that house. Still hate that house. We'll always hate that house. Like, burn it the fuck down.
My dad, is it your dad's house or your mom's house?
My dad's house. And no. Him and his new wife keep talking about, like, they're going to set, they're currently in the process of selling her house, and then they're going to sell that house and buy a new house, which I think is fabulous. And I think whoever buys that house should burn it the fuck down. Because
you should buy it and burn it the fuck down.
And then first sell of all, the land. That house is really, like, it's ancient. It's falling apart. It's been falling apart for years because it was built in like the 1800s. Like, it's an old, old farmhouse. Second of all, there's some evil shit in that house. I just no. Just burn it down. But I've always hated that house. I've never been okay with staying there by myself. Like, even into my teens, if my parents would leave for like a weekend trip or something, I would want someone to stay with me, or I would want to stay somewhere else. Like, I did not want to stay in that house by myself. Even during the day, really, honestly, hated that house. So I was going to say real life hauntings don't bother me, but I think it more depends on the actual energy. Like, the building I work in is haunted as fuck, but the energy of those spirits is not
malicious.
Yeah. The one that lives in my dad's house is fucking.
Listen, if I could, if I didn't have to work and pay bills and do all of that, I 100% would travel anywhere and everywhere and just ghost hunt.
So I've been told by multiple people that I have the type of spirit that things latch onto because I'm an empath.
That's why you always say yes. That's what I was told. I went ghost hunting once with a group from Lafayette. And when I went to the house, which is actually in Atlanta, Indiana, it's really, really tiny, blink and you'll miss it kind of place. But it's called the Rhodes Hotel, and it's got a long history. And it's got entities from like every, not every era, but quite a few centuries, not centuries, decades. And I ended up getting locked in a closet, and I had scratches all over the my back. Like, they were burning. Nothing touched me. I was leaning up against the wall, and my back was just scratched all the hell. And that shit hurt. And yeah. All I did was go into the closet and sit down with a camera, and then that was it. The door slammed, and I couldn't get out. And in that room is a drunken entity that likes to beat women.
Oh, well, there you go.
And throw them in the closet, which is where I was.
There we go.
But it's like from like the saloon days. So like they had a game room full of, or like card game room, basically full of dolls that you could like,
oh no,
try to play games with. Shit happened in that room. Shit happened up in the attic. Like, something always happened. And I loved every minute of it. I spent $50 on that. And I was like, this is so fucking fun.
But my astrologer actually told me to even be careful going, like, to make sure I wear protection and stuff when I go to antique shops.
Oh, yeah. No, when I left, the dude looked at me and he goes, hey, you might want to, like, tell these guys to stay here. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I would sit here outside my, like, outside the house and say, you cannot come with me. You must stay here. You are not welcomed. Like, say that a bunch of random times and then you should be good to go. And I was like, can you just, like, throw salt at me? Like, just real quick. I was like, thanks, bro. How about the 17 other people that are here with us? He goes, no. You're the one with the most activity. You need to do that. And I was like, you fucking live here, bro. He built onto the place. And then when you go into like the dining room area, there is literally a thick salt line that is encased around like glass. So like nothing can disturb it. Nice. So I was like, yeah. But anyways, I think that's why I get it. Not that I'm like drop my pants turned on kind of thing when I'm scared, but like the adrenaline junkie that I am, I understand where she's coming from with that. She just takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah, that's
that he takes it to a whole new level too.
Yes.
I mean, there's a few times where I'm like, yeah, that's okay. And then the other times I'm like, please don't.
Yeah.
Do not.
That scene with the mirror in the mirror, the Hall of Mirrors.
That was pretty good. That was well written. Although H.G. Carlton has a grammar errors, some writing errors, you know, whatever. But that scene, though, that scene was good. That was a good
scene. That scene was very good. And like, it makes me want to find, like, rent a Hall of Mirrors.
Right? Please.
But not at a fucking Scream park, because no. But can we talk about my favorite fucking character?
Sibby. Listen, I learned so much about her in Hunting Adeline.
Yes. That's why I kept asking you, like, what part are you at? Because Sibby is fucking amazing. Also, can we talk about how I was at 49% of the book? 49%. And they had saved Adeline from the train car, and like, she was safe. She was back with Zade. What's-her-face was about to die. Or no, she wasn't about to die yet. But the... She was safe. Oh. Yeah.
She was safe.
She was safe, okay? And she was back home, and everything was okay and hunky-dory. And I was at 49% of the book.
You're like, all right, I'm done. I don't need to read anymore.
Right. I was like, no, I'm good. But then I'm glad I did, because, like, it was almost, like, healing.
Mm-hmm.
To
it was watch. Really nice to, like, see her
vindicated almost. With, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't like how she kind of like threw a part of her away to like turn into a murderer. I understand.
You have to like,
yeah, I feel like I would probably be in the same boat. Like I would feel like there's not necessarily that there's no hope, like, but like
she threw it away. I feel like it was taken from her.
Yeah. And again, I get it. I just wish it wasn't like, I wish she found part of herself.
Like, that's why I asked if there was another book, because I feel like with more healing, she could maybe find that part of herself again.
It, yeah. And I really, that's what I wanted to see. Like, I wanted to see her lose herself, turn into something new, realize what she's doing isn't truly her. It's a version of her. And then go on that healing journey to find the old her and then adapt into that with who she is now kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that she probably will eventually, but also I think that like, she will also never be the same again. Like you don't.
And I don't think I want her to like be the exact same. I think I just want her to
maybe see who she moral would compass again.
Not necessarily that, but like just do things that like make her enjoy. Like,
yeah.
Like, if she goes for a walk, like, not sit there and think, oh, yeah, I'm safe. Like, I'm in the woods by myself kind of thing. Like, I don't want her to, I don't know. It's like a weird victim.
Yeah.
I think just because, like, I wanted when I was raped. Like, after I was raped, like, I had to go through everything by myself. Like, nobody helped me. I was afraid to talk to my, I didn't even talk to my dad. My dad still doesn't know. But, like, I was afraid to talk to my mom. Like, I was afraid to say anything to anyone, because like the moment I said something to them, like who I thought was my friends, they just laughed it off and said, "You're lying. You probably are just making shit up. Like, you probably deserved it," kind of thing. So, okay, I lost my friends. I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. I was in my second year of college. Like, my ex of 6 years had just broken up with me. Like, I was hitting rock fucking bottom. And I don't think I ever got that, like, innocence back. Ever.
I don't know that you would. Like, I don't know that you could.
And I just feel like, sometimes I feel like before that, before, like, the people that I was with, maybe life felt more simpler, but then I saw like the dark side of what could happen. And then it's like,
yeah, people fucking
you just grow up and then you become that hyper independent person. And then you never relax. I think that's why I wanted for her. I just wanted her to find like the part of her that could relax and that didn't have to worry.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a little bit of my trauma kind of.
I was going to say, but that makes sense because I feel like you want that for her because you want it for you.
And maybe that's why I like the book so much, because it's not necessarily like I had an ex or something or like a boyfriend that was like Zayd, but like in the grand scheme of things, she was raped unwillingly, especially in the second book. And so was I. Mm-hmm. And I was taunted by that person for months and fucking months and a couple of years even later. She wasn't necessarily taunted by anybody afterwards, other than like her dreams. Yeah, other than like her dreams and all of that. But like, so like having to relive that moment and like also not fully remember that moment after like a couple of years. It's really kind of fucked up. And maybe that's why I liked the book so much, because like it kind of was therapeutic to read her situation, her happy-go-lucky before getting pulled into this world kind of thing. And then having to go through that mental jump and through the hoops.
Yeah. I just had like a moment in my head where I identified with Zayd. Let me explain. As you were discussing that and you were talking about this person taunting you, I was like, I'll fucking kill him. And then I was like, oh.
There he is. See, here's the thing. I identify as both Adeline and Zayd.
Right.
Because, and I've talked with Will about this, because like we, this is like the ethical debate thing that I enjoy having. I'm like Ham in that way from Mistborn. And I use the example, I was like, babe, what do you think about like Gypsy Rose Blanchard? Like, some people say she shouldn't have been released so early, but then other people are saying, no, she was a victim of her mother, so she shouldn't have been in there at all. And so then it's like, she didn't technically do it, but she planned it. But she also planned it because she was a victim of it. So, like,
I don't think either her or her boyfriend should be in jail right now.
See, and Will was on the opposite side of that. He goes, just because she didn't do it doesn't mean, like, she didn't plan it. It's premeditated. And I was like, yeah. I think
the fact that he is still in jail means she should still be in jail. Like, if that's the decision you made, then they should both still be in jail.
Yeah.
But if... I don't think either one of them should be. First of all, that poor boy has autism.
Yeah, I was going to say, he needs to have, like, maybe not jail. Like, he needs to be in some type of, like, mental health facility kind of thing, especially for what happened. But also with her being a victim of stuff.
I think that had she done it herself, people, like, this wouldn't be as big of a discussion. I don't know that she would have even necessarily gone to jail. Like, that's self-defense.
I think she probably would have been, I was going to say. And that's the other thing. Is it self-defense? Now, where is it? Yeah, hold on. But ethically, is it self-defense? Because it's not actively happening at the moment. And here's the thing. Criminal justice, and this is why I wasn't a criminal justice sake, but I like to hear the offside of this. Is it self-defense if it was happening periodically throughout the thing. Like, yes, it's abuse no matter what, no matter which way you look at it. But is it self-defense because her mom wasn't actively, like, in that moment, like, beating the fuck out of her? That's not self-defense kind of thing. And then it's like, well, where do you go from here?
And then the other side of that is, like, she's been through this. We went on a whole other tangent, but she's been through this abuse and trauma from her primary caregiver for so much of her life that, I mean, could we not rule by insanity? Like, she's...
Honestly, yeah. And that's another thing. Like, why so isn't trauma. This?
Like, her mental health is not okay. Yeah. I mean, if you look at pictures of the girl now, she's still not okay.
Mm-mm. But, like, and that's what I'm saying, like, with this whole thing. Like, is he ethically doing the right thing? Yes. Could he do it a different way? Probably. Do I enjoy it any other way? No. This is the most fucking satisfying thing ever. But, like, and I was trying to have a conversation with him, like, about all of the ethics behind this. Like, well, I mean, technically, yeah, that's a thing. But if you think about it, this is also a thing. And I enjoyed it.
Personally, even though I just said I'll fucking kill him, I'm not, I'm really not, like, a violent person. Like, I talk a lot and my words can hurt. But I'm not one that's like, I actually want to cause physical pain or that I would actually kill someone.
I feel like that's the female in you, though, because I feel like females go for the words, like they go for the mental health. They hit you where it hurts mentally. Men just fight.
Yeah.
Because brain overruns like that argument.
Also, but... like the witch part of me. That's mm-hmm. like living
karma will get all. You.
Yeah. Well, and just like life is a beautiful thing, even if you're not. I know my animals are a hot fucking mess tonight. I don't know. I don't think I don't like, and I used to be the first one to like smack a bug out the air. I don't even like really killing bugs anymore. Like,
I no, if I see a spider, out. I try my hardest to like move it to like a corner out of my way. Or like if it's a bigger spider that I don't want in my house, I take it like right outside the door.
Well,
it's not outside. It's just outside my door. So it means it's still covered.
Let me be absolutely clear. I still kill spiders. A roach.
I stomp the fuck out of those guys.
There are multiple kinds of bugs that I will still kill. Like spiders being one, because if you don't show Brittany the dead spider carcass, she doesn't believe you killed it and she will not be able to sleep tonight. because she caught me once being like, oh yeah, I got it. And I didn't actually get it. And she caught me. And so now if I don't show her the dead spider carcass, she doesn't believe me. So spiders, number one, I will still kill if they're in the house. Number two, bed bugs. Never been in our house, but like whenever I would find them on a student, when I had students with bed bugs, I would kill them. And number three, I've never had the experience of killing one, but lice, because pre-K kids are gross.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. When after my rape, I kind of shut down because like police didn't help me at all. Like the jurisdiction that it happened in and the jurisdiction of like that police fucking sucks. And apparently that's on me for getting raped in their county, whatever. And that's also partially why I wanted to become a police officer. Cause I wanted to do better. I wanted to do better for like the women and girls and college kids out there who face this by themselves and felt like no one believed them.
And part of the problem is, like, there are a lot of people out there with that attitude,
mm-hmm.
but they're not in a position to make that change. Like,
yeah.
Like, but it takes higher up people than that to actually make any kind of lasting change.
Yeah. And here's the thing, though. I was like, I'm not going to say anything to anybody. I had guy friends because I was in like a male dominated like college career. And I had a couple of great guy friends at the time. And then their girlfriends did not like me. So now we're not friends anymore. But when they found out about it, they were pissed. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to go to the person's house and like beat the fuck out of him. And no one has ever did that for me. So I felt loved. I felt wanted in somebody's life. That was probably the only fucking support I had after my rape. And there was a chance that I could have been pregnant. And both of them were like, yeah. And both of them were like, hey, we'll be here for you if you decide to keep it. Like, we will help you babysit. Like, we'll help you through this. I was like, thanks. Thanks so much. And they were like, and on the off chance you don't want to keep it, we understand. We will also be there to support you because
this is fucked. Like,
yeah. And I sat there. I was like, you know, I don't personally for me, I don't think I can ever abort. Maybe once upon a time, like that was something that I would like consider. But like at my age now, I'm okay. Like if I'm pregnant, but like at the time, Brandy's like, that fuck no. At the time, I just felt like I had so much more that I wanted to do and achieve before any of that. And I also didn't want to raise a child and be like,
your dad is a rapist.
Yeah, I know exactly how you came to be.
Right, because unfortunately, you would always see that.
Yeah, and that's just the – and some people are out there like, no, I would have loved it anyways. And it's like, yeah, that's great. That's not me.
I'm not like, saying you wouldn't love it. Like, you might. But
I definitely would always
– Yes.
Hold – and I wouldn't want to hold it against them, but I would.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm the kind of person that, like, revenge is sweet. That mm-hmm. And that is on my mental health. Will does not need to tell me that, but
ding ding ding, you just hit the button about why I would absolutely abort. You can't be on your mental health medications.
Yeah.
And I have been in that.
I honestly probably would have killed myself. I mean, that's around the time that I like actually had to go on a lot of medication.
Yeah, I've been in that dark, dark place too many times. Especially if it was a result of something horrendous like that, There's no way that I could stop taking all of my medications, go through all of those changes in my body that really I'm on the upper age range of being viable anyway. Third, like, I don't fucking want a kid. I don't care if I loved the person. If somehow Brittany grew a penis that had real sperm, and we got pregnant, I still wouldn't want that child.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a much harder decision for me in that case. And it would be something obviously I'd have to discuss with her, but that's not something that could ever happen. So it's not something I have to worry about. Thank God. But I don't want kids. I love kids, other people's kids that I can send home at the end of the day. Or when they have lice, I can be like, stay the fuck away from me. And I don't
have
to comb their hair.
Yeah.
Like, no. I am perfectly happy being the unhinged auntie that everyone loves to come spend the night with.
There you go.
Because I can then send them home. I don't even want the fucking dog anymore. Like, the dog is too much for me. I love that dog. Love him to death. But he's too much.
He's so fucking... Well, that's on having a husky, though. So, like...
Any dog. Because, first of all, yes, he's a husky, and so he's, like, extra. But, like, just the fact that we can't go away for the weekend without getting someone to watch the dog. Ew. The cats, you just throw down, like, 3 days' worth of food and make sure the litter box is clean, and you can leave them bitches for, like, 5 to 7 days. The dog... You can't leave for 3 hours without something happening. We're going to get another dog because Brittany wants a dog. She wanted the dog in the first place and the dog chose me. So we're going to get her another dog. But If I didn't have a Brittany, I would never get another dog. Ever.
I'm too lazy to have a dog, and I love the girls. I love them so much, and I do want a dog. Like, I want another one. But my laziness only gives me the adequate amount of need for the cat. That's about it.
Yeah.
Everything else is like I gotta take you out.
even between our two cats, like, I love both of our cats. I love all of our animals. But, like, I like one of our cats more than the other. Partially because he was my first cat and he's my familiar. That's my baby. Kemper. Yes. But also, he wants me to be over here. He wants to be with me in this room. But I'll sit in this chair and he'll lay over there.
That's how Lily is. She just wants to be in the same room as me.
Yeah. He doesn't like closed doors. He wants to be able to get to me. But he doesn't want to lay on me. He will lay over there. Actually, if he lays on me, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Do we need to go to the vet? Like, what's... And 9 times out of 10, he does. The other cat likes to cuddle, but that's partially because when we got him, he was dying, and so we cuddled him a lot. Like, when he was a baby. But even he's too much for me sometimes. I don't like it. Don't want it. No, thank you. Also, I think this is going to have to be a two-parter. I didn't think it was, but I think it's going to have to be.
Yeah, it definitely is going to have to be because, like...
We haven't even started talking about hunting. We barely started talking about hunting.
Yeah.
I have a lot more to say about Sibby.
Right. Well, here's the thing,
too. And all the trauma and the... What was the thing called where they run through the forest? We got to talk about that, too.
Oh, the culling.
The culling, yeah. We got to talk about that, too. So...
Well, and here's the thing, too. this is what happens. We don't have anything written down because we didn't we're like, yeah, it's going to be a one-shotter. It'll be fine. Like,
yeah, we just talk a lot.
Well, and it's kind of important. I mean.
But I feel like this is going to be a really interesting episode because we have let ourselves follow those thought processes.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be an interesting one.
I don't know. I just, the more we talk about this, like, whenever Will's just like, I don't know how you like this. Like, this story just sounds, maybe it's just because I didn't explain it very well to him.
Let me be perfectly clear. There was part of the time, especially hunting Adeline, the first half of the book, I didn't like it. I was like, why am I reading this? I don't want to read this, but I have to know what happens.
Yeah. He was just saying, like, because I was sitting there like, oh my God, like, that's like, what the fuck? And he goes, what? And I, like, kind of do like a brief synopsis. I was like, oh, well, this happened. And then at this point, like, this happened. And then this one's a serial killer. So then, like, she's in on it too. And he's just like, it, like, the story just, there was so much to the story that it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, it's a lot.
One thing happened. Yeah, like, one thing happened, and then, like, something else that's outrageous, like, came into it, and then, like, you couple it with another outrageous thing, and then that's, like, just one chunk of what's happening. And Will's like, no, that's a terrible fucking story. And that's his opinion. That's fine. He didn't read it. That's fine. Yeah. But, like, he just looks at me, he goes, how do you fucking like this? And now that we're, like, talking about it and discussing it, I think it's my trauma that's, like...
Agreed. And I don't have the same trauma as you. I am very fortunate to never have experienced that. Because, unfortunately, there's a high percentage of women that has happened to.
Mm-hmm. More often than not, actually.
Yeah. However, some of my other trauma from childhood, like, gives me... issues and one makes me want that, like,
I have daddy side. I have daddy problems. I have daddy and mommy problems.
I was gonna say I got also both.
I come to find out I have both, so
yeah,
thanks, therapist. So, yeah. But okay, anyways,
so
we'll probably revisit this.
We're definitely gonna revisit this because we haven't talked about some of the things I definitely wanted to talk about, like Sibby and then her mom and dad. And there's multiple other things I want to touch upon. So I'll try to make a bulleted list at least so we make sure for the next one that we touch upon those things that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, see,
about.
This is what happens. I mean, isn't this what podcast is all about, though? Like, just talking randomly?
It is.
You know what? Some people have, like, scripts, but...
Well, and there are some people who really dislike banter and just chatting. I'm not one of those people. That's my favorite part of the podcasts I listen to, like those little random little stories and tidbits. And at this point in this, we're on year two now, or year three now, I mean, of this podcast.
Yeah, we just celebrated our second year anniversary.
Yeah. So we're on year three now. At this point, if you don't like banter, why are you here? Like, we're definitely that type of podcast. We banter a lot.
I just wish we argued more. Yeah, we agree on a lot of things.
I was going to say, we're really similar, so...
Anyways.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Until next time.
Bye.